Anyone who watches this show knows that I'm very, very seldomly lucky enough to have somebody who brings beverages. If those beverages have alcohol in them, I am even more fortunate. It's been I don't want to say a crummy week for me, but it's been kind of an injury-filled, not great start to things. I've had some great things to celebrate. I've had some things that are not so great. I'm not trying to make this a pity party. It's just, you know, if you can have a cocktail every once in a while, it just makes life move a little better. So whenever I see companies, we've had Weinster on here when they bring the wine. We love Weinster. We've had folks at Pro-V, and it used to be another name before that, and they always bring booze, and that's great. We've got Bartesian in today. Ryan Close, the CEO, is here. He's got a machine, which we're going to take some video and shots of, and we're going to share it on social. You can check that out at Technori on pretty much everything social. I'm guessing this is going to make it to Instagram. That's just my suspicion, which is at Technori, and I'll probably make a little cameo in there, at Couture. You can follow me there. And of course, if you are one of those like eight people in the universe not using social media, you can just go to technori.com and catch this podcast and a whole lot of other cool stuff later on. And if you're a podcast downloader person, do me a favor. Download this podcast on iTunes or download this podcast, Apple Podcasts. Download this podcast on Spotify and review it, because that helps me a lot. And then I can help you. So at any rate, I want to jump right into this because I want to get to the drinks part. But in all seriousness, I want to learn about Bartesian and how this whole thing came to be. So Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing, Scott? Thanks for having me here.
I'm doing well. I expected more harumph out of you. You're a guy who provides everyone with joy and happiness in the form of a machine. So I'm going to pull this harumph out of you. The fastest way I have found to get founders to get jacked up is to just tell me what your product is. Tell me about your business, and then we'll talk a little bit about how you got there.
Okay, well, sorry, just battling a cold, so maybe that's where that harumph is.
You need
is.
Some boozes.
Yeah, exactly. I thought we'd start with the drinks, but
well,
we'll
they'll do it backwards.
So my company, Bartesian, is, you know, making it easy for people to enjoy premium cocktails at their home.
Nice.
Or at a stadium or at a hotel room where they don't have a trained bartender on staff. So, you know,
or they're just lazy. My thing is, I don't like to clean the stuff. I love old fashions. We have all the old fashions mixes at our house. I will never make an old fashioned because I know that that's going to end up in the sink with me to clean tomorrow sticky.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah.
Well, that's it. I mean, I was telling the guys, you know, I bartended for 10 years and I try to make a mojito at home. I pull the mints. I expect something good and consistent. So does my wife. And we ended up throwing down the drain afterwards. Yep. So with Bartesian, you know, the ingredients, the liqueurs, the bitters and juices are in a capsule. Yeah, high quality ingredients, the real stuff. And you simply select the cocktail that you want to try. You put it in the machine and the machine does the rest. It reads the barcode, draws the alcohol, reconstitutes the ingredients with water, and in 18 seconds gives you a premium cocktail and self-clean.
This is Nespresso for booze.
That's one way of describing it. Absolutely.
Where do I invest? Are you taking, is the round still open? Like, is there a certain amount that I can buy that right. will then make me an investor? How does this work?
We can definitely talk about that offline for sure.
Let's do that. Cause it's brilliant.
Great,
the model, I mean, assuming everything else in the world comes down to execution, which we'll get into. And that execution is that the product works and that you're able to move it and sell it and supply chain, et cetera. But you have a wealth of knowledge that you're going to get out of this machine just by knowing what SKUs people buy the most of. Is it rum and Coke? Is it like, what's the mix? And then there's the opportunities to do product branding. So is it rum and soda or is it rum and Coke and bring in Coke? These are all the kind of cool things that I want to talk to you about. But from the top line down, there is absolutely no argument that could be made that this is a bad idea. Like, it's just not. There's so many people like this.
Yeah. You know, if I had money, revenue coming in for people saying, you know, why is it taking so long for this idea to come to concept, you know, I might not need to launch the product. So, you know, the idea is brilliant. You know, I can't take credit for it. I have some smart partners or engineers who came up with the concept. And, you know, we've been working hard the last 4 years to put this, you know, into market. And
yeah.
We're ready to do so. We've got the right partners in place so we can actually bring it there in March.
So if I had to guess, I mean, some of the reasons that I just think that this has been a challenge, and I think coffee is a great place to start with this because there's commonality here a little bit. I know not a place you want to start, but it is from my vantage point, because I look at it and I go, one of the main reasons that I would be adverse to something like this, just thinking I'm not a booze snob. I'm a drink. You pour it in a glass and I'm drinking it. You can pour. I'm the guy at the end of the bar, like grabbing other people's glasses and just pounding my way out.
Right.
But the truth is, people are snobby about their booze, and there's certain types and certain mixtures and certain things that make them like an old fashioned, but I don't like this kind. Is it Bullet? Is it Maker's Mark? Whatever. And similar to coffee, people had their sort of snobbiness about it. And what ended up happening is the Starbuckses of the world, the knockoffs, the Peets, the mom and pop stores have made it to where like nobody can tell the difference.
Right.
And so now the idea of an espresso sort of branding itself and saying we're kind of in the middle. You won't feel like we're really unique, but we're not like we're not Dunkin' Donuts, makes 70% of the market can drink it and be like, yeah, that's sufficient coffee. If you guys can make this to a point where 70% of your consumer market would be like, you know what, you got like 15 SKUs, 4 or 5 of them are drinks that I routinely, whether it's gin and tonic or whatever it is, like routinely would drink, and you do a good enough job that it's, maybe it's not Hendrix, but it's somewhere Bombay, it's somewhere in the middle, I'm in. And I think that's where this whole thing, whether you guys have this hockey stick, comes down to, like, can you convince the market of people that this is, that I can get your drink and do it easier? And that's the deal, right? I mean, what are the problems that you guys have encountered just getting to this point?
Yeah, no, it's a great point. I mean, it really is, you know, looking at the bell curve of who the consumers are and being able to target those correctly. And we are cocktail snobs. You know, I am.
Well, yeah, that's self-proclaimed,
and you know, we obviously, you know, work very hard to make sure our cocktails stand up to the best bars and best lounges in major cities and rival the quality and the taste.
Yeah,
and that's important. And again, we could have probably launched what, 1.5, 2 years ago, but the we had, you know, the machine and capsules that were decent, ready to go, but the challenge was shelf stability.
Yep.
You know, obviously managing that supply chain. And ensuring that
it's everything.
Know, the end user receives a fresh, delicious cocktail and the ingredients are standing up while still not sacrificing, you know, and putting in, you know, nasty ingredients in there so that it takes away the taste and the,
yep,
and the flavors. So that was the you know, and obviously the business side was like, hey, let's just, we can hit that bell curve and get the 80% and put this out to market. But probably the cocktail snob side of us, and we're happy we made the decision, is let's continue at the threat of not being first to market.
Yeah.
We didn't know who else was out there. We read of, you know, a few really big companies diving into the space. But we said, you know, let's wait. Let's take the time and get this bang on. And we feel we have right now.
I will tell you, the first to market, and we've said this to tons of startups on here, the first to market thing is a myth. It's not nothing. I'm not saying it's nothing. But first to market is only as fast to market is only as strong as accurate to market. If you launch a product that's a piece of shit to market first and it does poorly, your first to market was your last to market. If you put a market out there, I mean, Apple does this all the time. They let other people screw up and then they make it better and they come back out with their product and they're like, look, we invented the face authentication. Like, no, you didn't. You just made it better. You made it more, you know, more convenient. So I look at what you're doing and I think, like, you made the right move. And I think having the right product, it's a great product that you can come out and be proud and take the smell test, so to speak, the Pepsi challenge, if you will, is your best marketing in the planet.
Right. Yeah, I think you're totally right. And, you know, I agree with that philosophy. You know, first to market, sometimes when, you know, if you're in the software and you need some, you know, get the beta testing out there and fix some of those bugs,
yeah,
it sometimes makes sense. But with hardware and with something that you taste and, you know, ingest in,
yep,
your body,
it's kind of important.
It needs to be rock solid. So
I think you also, quite honestly, from a marketing standpoint, I think it's really brilliant, is if you guys take the time to find the way to not have to put in the bad stuff, as you said, the nasty stuff, and you're able to make this not only a great drink, yes, but like also you know, nature friendly, or we don't test on things, or it's healthier, or whatever the case, you can bang against all the other people who came out fast and slick and made mistakes, and that is your best social proof, right? So tell me a little bit about your kind of journey to market here. Like, what were some of the things, the stumbling blocks that you guys encountered that you needed to come up with and find a better solution for?
Yeah, so I talked a little bit already on the shelf stability, just finding that right balance. Obviously, the hardware, the component, I mean, starting a hardware company in itself,
yeah,
is you know, a challenge and expensive and takes a lot of resources. And then when you pair that now with, you know, launching a CPG company with the capsules, in addition, you, yep, know, we were split pretty tight, and obviously we recognized that we needed to bring in resources, either a lot of financial resources so we can build up the team one side or another.
Have you guys raised, I assume, some capital? I would imagine. How much have you guys raised, if you can say?
We can't. It's actually not disclosed, okay, but I can say fine. Beam Suntory here in Chicago is our largest investor.
Okay, so it's not tiny.
Right, yeah.
You guys are fine.
We've done, you know, it's... in the millions, I can say that. So
we're in the seven-figure mark. Us too. Yours might be a little higher than the seven figures than mine, but we got there nonetheless. Okay, so we had one good friend of mine from Tavala, the founder of Tavala, David Rabbi's on the show, made us some salmon, talked about these same problems. Mm-hmm. It comes down to supply chain. It comes down to understanding our customer wants so that we don't waste money on SKUs that are obsolete or not used a lot, and creating a great piece of hardware and figuring out how do I get it. You know, it's like the old dilemma. Do I try to sell as many units to recoup my costs, or I try to get it in as many households and figure out where I'm going to make my money? What's the model for you guys?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. So we looked at, again, how are we going to split our resources effectively? So we thought it'd be best to take a hardware company who does this really well already and license the technology of the machine on a short term to that company. So we talked to a few. We really liked Hamilton Beach, and one of the main reasons was they did that for Sub-Zero with Wolf brand appliances. Sub-Zero went to them, said, we want to make a really high-end consumer appliance line, and Hamilton Beach took it from there, built it, engineered it, distributed it, marketed it, etc. So we're going to still manage the marketing side of it, but Hamilton Beach has licensed the machine to them.
Yeah.
And so we have a sales force, we have an engineering firm, and we have distribution. And, you know, world class companies like that, they're operating on pretty tight margins.
Yep.
So for us, you know, we get a royalty at the end of it. For us to be able to manage that and still get a royalty, I think it was the best for our business at the time, and still today.
Yep.
We can focus on really bringing those capsules.
So the capsules become the big revenue, because you can carve out great margins. If you know your SKUs better, you can thin it out even more. What would you say are like the most common drinks? What are the ones you guys see that might surprise you?
Right, so we're launching. We have margaritas is a number one drink without question. We also have a Cosmo, Sex on the Beach.
There you go.
Whiskey Sour. We have Long Island Iced Tea coming out. We've perfected the Old Fashioned now. So
yes, we're talking.
Yeah, we definitely wanted to make sure that we're hitting those whiskey drinkers and on trend.
The Long Island Iced Tea is another big win to me, because like that's my entire summer is John Daly's. Like, pretty, I mean, literally, that was the drink of my wedding was John Daly's.
Okay,
like,
is that
so
right?
Like, yeah, it's like that's and I think a lot of people are trying to get away from like the heavy drink, unless it's, you know, it's a dinner drink or something like that. So that's again, you're like right in line with like that. And of course, this is where your background in being a bartender comes into play.
Right, and also the partnership with Beam Suntory helps us to kind of understand what the trends are. So, you know, we're developing a Boulevardier, you know, Paper Plane, Sazerac, so some really high-end cocktails that are complicated and to really showcase our value proposition.
Love Sazeracs.
Right, yeah, they're a great cocktail. So, you know, anything you can put in a coupe is tastes great.
Yeah, just from the glass alone. So true. Yes, so true. So I want to ask, like, and then the next part of this is like, the branding, so like the different the different flavors, are they just chemical mix, or are we using like Beam? Are we using brand name stuff? And can you market it? I'm an investor already. Can investors put money and then they tell you it's theirs? That's how this goes. Can you put labeling on it saying like it's a Jack and Coke or whatever? Are you using brand products, and how does that work?
Right. So the there's no, just to confirm, there's no alcohol in the capsules.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you can do that. Yeah,
the alcohol is it's an open system, so that as a user, you can put whatever brands you want.
Okay,
we have a partnership with Beam Suntory where they're gonna co-brand on the capsules. So instead of a Bartesian Old Fashioned, it's a Jim Beam Black Old Fashioned or a Maker's Mark Old Fashioned. So we'll use their brands on the capsules themselves.
So they're teed up so that the capsule goes out and it says, you go buy a bottle of Jim Beam, and it tell you like you pour 1/3 shot of Jim Beam into this cup, and then presto change-o, and they've got the capsule does its work, and you can have a drink.
Right. You would pour the alcohol in the reservoir.
Yep.
So the alcohol goes in the reservoir. Yep. You load it with your Jim Beam Black. You take your capsules out, and it'll say, you know, best paired with.
Yep.
And you know, our team of mixologists, when they're developing the cocktails, make sure that they're using that so the taste profiles match and taste the best for the consumer.
It's like mix and paint.
Right.
It's just that easy. Very cool. This is awesome. I can't wait to give this a whirl. It, I mean, seriously, like if you're, this is like the Tavala, I loved it and it changed my life. Like I spend $12 a day for a meal and I have a great meal every day and it's delivered to my house or delivered to my office and I can just pop it in the oven and I don't know how to cook. So it cooks it for me and it's great. This is one of those things that I would love to try different drinks and not just resort to Tito's and Diet Coke, which is what I usually just do because it's two ingredients and I can just make that happen. So the idea that I could actually branch out and drink drinks I really like without the hassle of having to learn how to make it is incredible. And also this like the mixing of 52 different glasses, I'm out.
Yeah.
Like I'm already out.
Yeah. The Tavala concept is excellent. And I think for us as well, we look at, you know, I was never a fan of the single serve. Like that's just not like I had my coffee maker at home and not to sound like a total snoot here, but was one of those, you know, grind the beans and you. So I don't like to be forced into something that's maybe just average or below average. Yeah. I want to be able to pie.
You're the person who made the Nespresso and those kind of machines drive them absolutely nuts.
Right. Just I want to elevate the quality. Yeah. And so people at home and again, all the trends are focused on different generations being, you know, the millennials.
We love us some small batch.
They want to hang out inside. They don't necessarily want to go out to the bar. It's a majority now that would prefer to stay home and call it Netflix. I
wonder if that has anything to do with the fact that all of our relationships are on social media. We don't actually talk to people in person anymore. Right. That might have something to do with it. Needless to say, you are benefiting from it by having an awesome device that enables them to make great drinks, because if you don't go to the bars, you don't actually learn how to make cool drinks. I mean, you can look them up, but it's not the same. Trust me, it's not the same. And so the idea that I could have this in my house is incredible. Awesome. Very cool. Where do people go to learn more about this product and all that stuff?
So you can check out our website, bartesian.com, bartesian.com. We're taking pre-orders now. We're launching in March. I haven't talked a little at all about, you know, the commercial side of our business. That's really, you know, you'll start seeing us in arena suites and stadium suites and hotels.
Yeah.
So we're working with some pretty major hotel brands.
Awesome.
So obviously, you know, we hope that a lot of users will be able to see them.
Can you say any of the hotels that people will be able to look out for, just to look out for it?
We're starting Hyatt. Over the next week or
Mark two. Mark Hoplamazian's always on top of stuff. CEO of Hyatt. He knows what he's doing. I love this. This is very cool. I look forward to using it, trying it. Hopefully one day I own it. And I love the idea that, again, a consistency factor. If you go to like hotels and stuff, no one wants to drink the day-old bottle that's sitting in the fridge. And so like the idea that you can actually do something would be really cool.
Absolutely. And Scott, I definitely want to try to sell you one of these before the
shouldn't be very hard.
$299,
same as Tavala,
and it's self-cleaning.
Oh, you got me on the self-cleaning part of this. We're gonna give this a whirl and we're gonna put it on social media. We're gonna put this on social media. I'm gonna see how stupid I am if I can figure it out. If I can figure it out, you might have just sold me. Regardless, Ryan, I appreciate you taking the time. I hope everyone else checks out Bartesian. It's bartesian.com.
That's right.
Yep, check it out. I think you'll see pre-orders will start being in front of you all over the place soon enough, I would imagine, the holiday season. And you know, let us know at Technoria or me at Katoon what you think of it, and we will pass that information right along over in a responsible way, unlike some of our social media people who steal data and just shoot it. But at any rate, it's been a great show, and I appreciate you coming here with booze, and we're going to pick up the rest of the show on social media with the little bar time here. So
perfect. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Of course. Absolutely. You can catch this episode of More at technori.com. Obviously, move this over to Instagram, where we're going to have this at Technori or at Katoon for me. And if you like podcasts the way I like podcasts, go ahead and download us on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts and on Google Play and on Stitcher and on everywhere you go. So anyway, boom. That's a wrap.